Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Most gracious and wise Heavenly Father, it's once again that I stand before you people to deliver the word you've given me. Father, hide me that they might not see me, but that they might see all of you, God. Be with me, God, as I deliver your word, and let me be the first partaker of this fruit. Prepare our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our very souls to receive this word. In the name of Jesus, I pray that, God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today's sermon is called Getting to Wholeness. Getting to Wholeness. When I think about the fact that Jesus Christ came and died at Calvary's cross, he came for two very powerful reasons and purposes. The first, of course, is to bring us back into right relationship and standing with the Father so that we might spend all eternity with him. But there's another powerful reason and purpose for him coming to Gethsemane. He came to bring about wholeness in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
The condition of humanity is brokenness. Amen? The Bible teaches that we were formed in sin and shaped in iniquity. Amen? And when you know that, you've got to understand that because of that, if we're not in a right relationship with God, we can never become all that we're supposed to be, all that he's purposed us to be in his creation of us. So today's sermon is about getting to wholeness. If you ask yourself a few questions, you'll come to the conclusion that in some areas you might be whole, and some other areas you are clearly broken. That's a hard thing to consider when you want to think about the fact that you're up, but sometimes you're down. Someone may not be able to tell that you're down on the outside, but on the inside, you know where you are. Spiritually, physically, economically, in all of these areas, you know who you are, you know whose you are, but you also know where you are if you're honest with yourself. Over the last month, our pastor has been preaching a sermon called Family Matters. Again, we just got finished celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday. We had some good times with our family, would you agree?
Yeah.
But if we're honest, some of us had some not so good times as well. It's possible that there were some issues at the Thanksgiving table. There were some considerations in terms of, well, who's going to sit here, who's going to sit here, because Uncle Johnny has an issue with Auntie May, all these kind of things, right? That's what Pastor was talking about. As Christians, when we get on the scene, when we got to our family's homes, that we should bring about the love of Christ regardless of what those issues are and what was going on. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Wholeness is an essential component of Christianity. But how many of you know that many of us go through our Christian walk never having been made whole? The truth is that we're whole partially. That sounds like an oxymoron, but it is in fact the truth. We might be whole economically, but we might not be whole spiritually. You can be saved, yet still bound. How many of you know Christians who smoke? Are they whole? No. How many of you know Christians who still do drugs, still addicted to alcohol? They gave their life to Jesus, but they're still grappling and struggling with some of the habits that they had from their former lives. So what we're going to talk about today is how to get to wholeness as a Christian. The Bible is full of many promises, but you've got to understand which promises are for you, which promises are conditional, which promises are unconditional. If you don't understand that, you can live your entire Christian life having never been made whole. Let's talk about getting to wholeness. As you know, I don't believe in wasting words, time, or anything else. The very first point I want to talk to you about today is the questions. If you want to be made whole, if you want to get to wholeness in your life, you've got to ask yourself some daring questions. You've got to be so brutally honest with yourself that you might shock yourself. You have to ask yourself, if I'm not whole in this area of my life, is it because of something I'm doing or something I'm not doing? Case in point. If you're not whole economically, if you're struggling with respect to your finances, is it because you're not tithing? We talk about Malachi 3 and 10, but we don't go on. It says that he will pour out a blessing which we shall not have room enough to receive. But it also says this, wherein have you robbed me? You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. So think about that. If you're not whole financially, is it about your practice? If you're not whole economically, is it because you believe in something but you don't practice what you believe in? If you're married and you don't feel that your marriage is whole, what is it that you can do? What questions can you ask yourself to bring about the fulfillment of a whole marriage? Oh, I'm happy Monday through Thursday, but when the weekend comes, when Fridays come, we fuss, fight, and cuss because we're not on the same page economically. Can you be made whole economically by simply believing in Jesus? I know this might shock you, but the answer is no. You have to believe in Jesus and then commit yourself to fulfilling his practices, amen? You've got to do something in order for God to do something. So again, you ask yourself that question, am I whole? If the answer is no, what parts of your life are fleeting? And what parts of your life are you not whole? Is it economics? Do you have a whole relationship or a partial relationship? Unfortunately, in this area, there are a lot of people who are willing to settle for part-time relationships, for part-time commitments. They say, oh, there's not enough good men, or there's not enough good women, or whatever the case might be. How many of you know that you don't have to live through a partial relationship? You can have a whole relationship, just like you've got a whole relationship and a whole commitment with Jesus. That's a difficult question. Do I have a whole relationship? If the answer is no, then you've got to ask yourself a further question. If I don't have a whole relationship, if I'm not whole in this area of my life, how can I be made whole? These are serious questions. I'm not here to tickle your ears and make you feel good. This is serious because during this particular time of the year, people deal with great depression. That's a fact. The holidays can be great, but they can also be difficult. I'm one of those people who don't necessarily get as excited as I probably should because of the holidays. It's because I don't necessarily have a lot of great memories growing up about Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year. But when I thought about what I was going to preach, I said, you know what? This is the question I need to ask myself. See, I'm being transparent here. If I'm not whole during this particular time of the year, what can I do as a preacher, as a man, as a father, to become whole so that I can be better during this season? Amen? It's a great time of the year, and we ought not be moping around, not feeling our best, not doing our best, because we know that we're not whole, but we're not doing the appropriate things to be made better. Yes. So the question becomes, in what areas of your life are you not whole? This is a difficult question, saints. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you might struggle with the fact that you may or may not be whole mentally? It's difficult, especially in the black community, because there's a stigma associated with mental illness. But the truth of the matter is that this is one of those areas where we may or may not be whole. We may struggle, not to the degree that we need medication or we need to see someone, but just with that slight angst, that slight depression, because again, as I stated about myself, I'm not where I want to be, even though I'm farther along than I used to be.
Yeah.
That can be a difficult thing for us to deal with as believers, because if we listen to every preacher, if we listen to every pastor, if we listen to everything in the media, as soon as you get saved, all your problems go away. I have no issues. My bills are paid. The aches and joints of my knees go away. All of these things. But the truth and reality of the matter is, it's not true. You may not be whole mentally. Again, that's not me accusing you of being crazy or any of those things. But you might struggle in certain areas of your life, and mental wholeness might be one of them. You may have low self-esteem. If you've got low self-esteem, you're not necessarily whole mentally. You know how I know? Because Christ came to give us love. He said that he's given us a sound mind. So how is it that our mind isn't whole? Because he's providing a sound mind for us, we should be whole mentally. We should be healthy mentally, amen? This message isn't going to shout you, but it might make you think, you know what? What can I do to be a better me? What questions should you ask yourself? If you're not in the best shape physically, are you whole? I see Asia Jernigan here. I love her. Great sister in the Lord. But she is absolutely killing me on Facebook with these photos talking about trying to get in shape, and I see a washboard stomach. Yeah. I'm bloated, not because I feel that way, because I'm built that way. And she's on Facebook telling jokes about getting in shape. I'm not whole physically. There's some things I can do to get better physically. Would you? No, don't agree. It's all about me. It's all about you. Okay. There's some things that we can all do to be made whole physically. Amen. Even though I have a disease in my body which I didn't ask for in terms of diabetes, there are still some practices that I can do to be made whole, to be better. Amen? I can take my insulin, I can exercise, I can do all of these things. But the truth of the matter is, when we recognize an area of our life in which we're not whole, we then need to take action. So the question today is, those are some of the questions I ask myself. What questions do you need to ask yourself in order for you to get to wholeness? If you're not willing to ask those questions of yourself, ask your spouse. They will tell you. Ask one of your friends. Ask your children. You may be surprised what they say. Don't think that they don't notice things or don't know things just because they're young people. They might notice something. Ask a friend. Ask your accountability partner. How do you see me? Do you see me as a whole Christian? Am I doing right in this area but wrong in this area? Am I whole? Am I struggling in our relationship, in our friendship? Am I doing the best work that I can do on my job? Am I whole professionally? Did I finish my degree or do I need to go back to school? One of the ways that the devil will attack you is to always make you question yourself. Last year here at Uplift Church, I preached a message called Am I Enough? The devil never stops. He's relentless. He will always make you feel like you're less than everything that you ought to be, because he knows that if he can attack your mind and make you question who's and what you are, you'll never get to where you're supposed to be. And one of the ways he does that is by making sure that you do not feel as if you were whole. So here's the thing. It's one thing to listen to the devil's foolishness, but it's altogether something different to provide your own spiritual critique. That's a good thing to do. It's always good to be a reflective practitioner of our faith. Am I whole? If I buy this tasty cake, will I be able to put gas in my car? If spending $1.50 will cause you to not get to work because you run out of gas, you might not be whole economically. And it's nothing to be ashamed about, because I personally have been there. There have been things that I could not do because there was a time in my life when I was not whole economically and financially speaking. I'm simply being honest about it. And what you have to do is cast that reflective light upon yourself. And what areas of my life do I need to be made whole? And not only that, what areas can I contribute to in order for me to be made whole? Don't think that God, oh, I'm just going to pray about it. Pray about it. Seek God and ask him to reveal those areas in which you are not whole. And then after that, ask yourself some tough questions. What am I doing to bring about this brokenness? Am I living a sinful life? Am I doing things I ought not to do? And am I not doing things that I should do? When you ask yourself the questions about wholeness, you begin to get a greater picture of the areas that you need to focus in order for you to be made whole. In our scripture today, we found some principles. We found some practices: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of these things. The truth of the matter is this. If you're not whole in a certain area of your life, could it be because you're not practicing the fruit of the Spirit? If your marriage is not whole, are you practicing love? Are you practicing joy? Are you practicing forgiveness, kindness, patience, faithfulness? What areas or what parts of the fruit of the Spirit do you need to practice as a result of you asking yourself those questions? You've got to be reflective about it. If I'm not whole professionally, what can I do to make myself better? How can I become either a better employee or a better employer? Either way, you want to ask yourself those questions so that you can be made whole. Amen? That's the first step to getting to wholeness. What questions do you need to ask yourself to highlight the areas in which you need to grow? And after you ask that of yourself in context. Am I whole at home? Am I whole at work? Am I whole in ministry? Am I given partial work? Therefore, I'm receiving partial credit. When I'm supposed to be working 8 hours, am I putting in 6.5 and playing solitaire the rest of the time on the computer? Hearts, oh, I see somebody shook their hands. I'm gonna look over here. Okay, you've got to ask yourself those questions. What questions do I need to think about and reflect upon in order for me to be made whole? First point were the questions. My second point is this, the structures. This is important. There are many structures in life. And there are many structures that I can stand up here and talk about today that will cause you to think about the questions that you ask yourself in order to get to wholeness. But I'm only going to focus on three. The first structure that God has provided in order for us to get to wholeness is the family. This is an important one because, again, Pastor just got finished preaching about family matters. Many of us just had Thanksgiving dinner and a great time of food, fun, and fellowship with our family members. However, are we really utilizing the family structure as a means to enable us to get to wholeness? The answer may be yes, the answer may be no. So the question becomes this: how do I utilize the family structure which God has provided, including the one He's placed me in, even if you don't like it, to get to wholeness? Because here's the thing. Some of us will never get to wholeness because we're looking for an easy path to get there. And some of the things we have to deal with in our family, within our family, is what causes us to grow the most. So are we avoiding hard times and moments of intense fellowship within our families, which if we did that, it will cause us to grow, or are we avoiding those situations? You might need to have a talk with Big Mama. You might have to have a talk with Hot Sauce, Grandpa. Yes, I'm not talking about the bottle, right? I know what y'all talking about because all you saw on Facebook this week, the stuff about Thanksgiving with a black family. Everybody saw it, it was hilarious. I don't know if I have any more room on my phone for all of the memes I say. But seriously, are you utilizing this? Are you actually approaching the family in the right way so that it will cause you to grow and be made whole? Are you having those courageous conversations with your father about his absence in your life? Are you willing to question Mama about the role she played in your life? Yes, she did great things for you, but in what parts did she fall short? And here's the thing. Everybody's falling short as parents. I'm a parent myself. We all fall short. So don't do this with a critical eye. But understand that some of the difficulties in your family, if you utilize them the right way, will cause you to grow and cause you to get to wholeness. It's important. You've got to have those conversations. You've got to ask those questions. If your family has a history of drug addiction, and I'll be the first to say this, mine does. My family has a history of drug addiction, poverty, and various other things. And so I recall having these conversations with my parents, with my uncle, with my aunt. Why did you make this choice? And furthermore, tell me how I can avoid it. Yeah. I had to confront the issues within my family so that I could get the wholeness for myself. In some areas of my life, by talking to my family, I've become whole, I've grown. I've overcome some things, but there are some other areas that I'm still climbing up that mountaintop. I'm still ascending to be laid whole in that area of my life by actually dealing with the issues that are present in my family. And I know some of you may say, oh, well, I don't have any drug addiction issues in my family. That's great. But do you have health conditions in your family? Do you have mental issues in your family? Do you have a family that comes together but ought not be together because they raise all hell every time they come together? Why is it that we fight at every event? Why is our family, we can hold our family reunion in Vegas because it's going to be a fight. We might as well charge for pay-per-view. Why is that the case? Confront those issues in your family structure. You can actually grow and you can get to wholeness in that area of your life. The second structure that I like to talk about, which God has provided in order to get us to wholeness, is the church. This is the I got saved in December 1993. I was a freshman in college at Temple University. I got saved. This is the fifth church in my life that I've been a part of. Fortunately for me, each time I've been a part of a church, I didn't leave a church under a bad condition or for some bad reason. It was by choice to leave the fellowship in order to do something else, including becoming a part of Uplift Church, as Pastor and I have talked to you before. But everyone's not here because you made a choice to leave on a positive note. Some of us left under bad circumstances. And I'm not critiquing, I'm not criticizing. There's some things you got to get away from, including in the church. That's a fact. There's some churches that you don't need to be a member of. They call themselves a church, but they should call themselves by another name because God's presence isn't there. Ichabod should be written across the doorpost because the name Ichabod means the presence of the Lord has left. He is not here. So here's the thing about the church. Are you actually utilizing the church to become a better you in order to get to holiness? Or do you require only a half of a toilet seat? What does that mean? I'm not going to say it to people. That means if you only require half of a toilet seat, you're giving a half effort. I skipped the word in a minute. Oh, that was funny. I don't know. Okay, right? You're giving a partial effort. Everybody got me? A partial effort. And many of us do that because in the church, there's seemingly no accountability. If I come okay, if I don't come, I'm okay too. I'm still saved. I still love the Lord. I still deserve. But how many of you know that your presence makes a difference in the service? How many of you know that your life matters to Uplift Church? Your life matters to the kingdom of God. How many of you are actually coming out to ministry events, actually participating in helping someone else, and thereby taking your eyes, your focus, and your concerns off of yourself? That's an area in which if you appropriately utilize the church, you can grow and get to holiness. Or do you show up sparingly? Do you show up based upon your feeling and not based upon him having gone to the cross for you? Yeah. If you show up for the right reasons, which is his blood, and you want to give him glory, honor, and praise, then it's not about how you feel. That rain was thick this morning. Would you agree? I did all the 35 miles an hour. I know I got no tires in my car, but I wasn't going to slip. I don't care. You've got to appropriately use the church to grow and get to holiness. How many of us tune in to Pastor's Bible study? Okay. Oh, I wasn't going to answer. But what I'm saying, do you tune in to Pastor's Bible study? Do you go to some of the small groups that we started? Are you reading your Bible daily? If you read a verse of scripture a day, you're still making progress through that chapter and through that word. It's not about volume. It's about impact. Amen? Are you using the church in order to get to holiness? Are you confronting things and issues about your life in the church? Or are you not doing so because you don't want to be transparent and cause everyone to know what you're really dealing with? The truth of the matter is that you might not be the only one dealing with it. Shall I go down the list? It's hard being single after you've had sex and gotten saved. Am I right about it? Oh, don't say it now. I'm divorced, I'm telling you. Again, I'm always transparent. If you're trying to do the right thing, you're going to encounter some difficulty. I'm just telling you what I know. I'm not here, it's not a game. Is it okay to deal with that issue in church? And the answer is yes. Because you can be made whole by dealing with it. Yes. You're not the only one who's having sex and you still come to church on Sunday morning and you're not married. You think we're selling? Looking good? We know what's going on. It doesn't take away your salvation, but no one's crazy. You're not fooling me. I'm just telling you what I know. Okay? The fact that you do certain things, you can address those issues in the church. You don't have to address them someplace else. We can talk about those things and say, hey, Pastor, I'm struggling in this area of my life. Is it possible that you can do a Bible study on this? Is it possible that we can talk about wine in the Old Testament, wine in the New Testament, and the wine I had on Saturday? The Bible does allow you to drink. It says don't become a drunk. So again, I'm just telling you. So let's be honest with ourselves. Pastor, I'm having more glasses of wine than I used to have. And it's not because it's the holiday, okay? It's becoming a craving. I need to deal with this issue. Pastor, I'm having sex. I love the Lord. I know this and ever. But you know what? I'm struggling, and I'm telling you, I don't feel that I can stop this. Pastor, I know you've taught us about teaching. I know you've taught us about finances and giving and this, that, and the other. And you say, give what you can so you can get to the full 10%. But I feel like if I give, I might need it later on. So I lack the faith to give, Pastor. I'm struggling. Can we talk about that in the church? The answer has to be yes. It's the vehicle that God has provided for us to deal with these issues and not anything else. We can deal with the hard issues of life in church and be made whole. No one's going to look down on you because you shared something. You're not the only person that's going through it. You're not the first, and you won't be the last. And here's the thing. Notice that Jesus in Scripture, it says that he was tempted in all points. That's why some of these modern-day theologians have it all wrong and say he had a wife, he was married to Martha and all of this foolishness. He was tempted in all points as us, not necessarily in all things. All things fall under all points. The eyes, the heart, lustfulness, all of these things. Jesus was tempted just like everybody else. He was God, but he came to earth in the form of a man. Because to be in this earth, to be on this earth, you need a body. That's a fact. So the question is this. Am I utilizing the church to be made whole? Or am I hiding in plain sight? We sit here Sunday after Sunday, issue after issue, week after week, series after series that our pastor preaches, and we never get real with ourselves about what it is that we're doing here at Uplift Church. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Am I getting better or bitter? Or am I staying the same? If you're the same person you were in terms of your practice a year ago, you've not made progress. There should be some growth in your life, and the church is one of the structures that God has provided to help you become whole. We can talk about all of those issues I just talked about, and we can talk about the spiritual issues as well. Well, I believe he walked on water, but how come he's not doing this, that, and the other in my life? Is it just a story, or is it real to you? Use the church as a vehicle to get to wholeness. Last structure I'll talk about and I'll move on. The community. So, we just got finished providing some Thanksgiving dinners for some families, as you know, prior to Thanksgiving. How many of you know that serving your community is a means for you to grow? Yes. See, some people think that giving is about someone else. No, it's actually about you. Yes. See, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall be heaped into your bosom. For the same measure that you give, it shall be given unto you. Oftentimes, we quote that, and we think that it's only talking about money. But the truth and reality of the matter is that if you read in context, it is not. It's truth which can be applied to economic situations.